We will continue our worship by listening to God's word. And today, we're overjoyed with Elder John joining us. He hasn't been come to the English congregation for a long time. I heard that he's a little bit nervous. But his smile probably doesn't show that nervousness. So let's welcome him. His sermon is The Lord's Prayer, The Making of a Father. Elder John.
It's a great privilege for me to be with you this morning. Happy Father's Day for those of you who are fathers, and perhaps for those of you who are becoming fathers, and to those who plan to be fathers. But that still leaves a lot of people out. So I try to do something which is meaningful, hopefully, to most of us, if not all. I am speaking about how to use the Lord's Prayer to understand the making of a father. When we have kids, the kids do not come with a user's manual. We don't really know what to do with these little things, and most of us don't. And so today we've learned how Christ taught his disciples, God's children, to plead to the Heavenly Father. So perhaps from that, we can learn the role of earthly father as well. Our Father in heaven is how this particular prayer starts. Father, in this whole prayer, this four verses, is the first word of the original text. It starts with Pater or Abba, the original Syrian Aramaic words for father. Ours, the, in the heaven. In other words, these words in the original text starts with the word father. Very much the same as most of us when we learn to speak. Baba, Papa, Dada tends to be the word we uttered first. I figured because those words do not need any teeth, you can pronounce it. And also because the face, which comes near the child quite often and keeps saying, da-da, da-da, and the kid finally learns. But these days, nobody calls me that anymore. I do have three kids, number one, number two, number three. But they have their kids, and they're all in Boston. And they call me Grandpa, which is fine, I think. Grand sounds good to me, but nobody calls me Father or Baba very often these days. A couple of days ago, my son Enoch and his sister Karen came to visit me. Not particularly to see me, but to attend a school function. They both attended Princeton, and in their graduation season, graduation days, there's a thing called P-Raid. So all the alumni comes back. And if you have graduated from the school for 25 years, this is a huge thing. And so the class will come back, and they all line up, and the 25th anniversary class stands in front, and that includes Ted Cruz in there, you know. The whole group stands in front, and then the class 40 years earlier, that is, they come back for the 65th reunion. It's the second session, and then the class of 53, 54, 55, and then there's a, even there's older guys there, they call it old guards. They are really old in wheelchairs, but anyway. It's a huge thing. I thought perhaps we can use the, oh, it's not shift over, please. I need the slides. Upstairs somewhere? Okay. And I thought I'll use this particular prayer to talk about Father. It's because in the scriptures that God is a father to us, and he often compares in order for him to make himself understood. God is a spirit. God is not a material thing. God is not made like we are. God does not live in this world like we do. He made this world. He's the creator. How do we understand such a transcendental being, a spiritual being, something that's we can't even imagine how God, who God is and how he is. And how do we understand God then? God will reveal himself through words, but very often he will use the experience that we normally have, our normal experiences, the things that we touch, the things we see, the understandings or the concepts that we gain through our experiences to understand, to extend that experience into the realm where we cannot see, we cannot feel. So in the scriptures, it says, as Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. As a father shows compassion, so is the Lord shows compassion. So if you understand what the Lord is like, is a look at Father, how the Father has compassion to children, so the Lord has compassion to you. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, it says, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carried sons. My children, when they are young, they want me to carry them. What do they say? They say, carry you, because that's what I say to them. I'll carry you, I'll carry you. So the kids learn, carry you. They want me to hold them, carry you. Carry you. When I carry someone, that someone is my children. So in that Deuteronomy, in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, again saying that he is the Lord and behaving as your father, how your father cares for you, carried you, your Lord who carried you. And in Psalm 68, verse 5, Father, he's the father of the fatherless. I see we still have problem up there. Can we shift over to the next slide? Well, use imagine. I think words are more powerful than pictures. I know you like to see pictures these days. They are very instantaneous. You see something, you see something. But words you can't see, but you can imagine. That's much more powerful. Now imagine that when my son attends that parade, you have these guys in the lineup, and they all have their special uniform. Each class has their own different uniforms, and they line up. They have this big plaque up there, class of 1992, and there's about 1,000 people walk behind them, and then up after that, there's many people walk after them, then the class of 53, class of 54, and all these people line up in the campus, and they walk, parade. I remember before he went to school, my first son, I called him to the kitchen. Well, that's where most important things are discussed in our family. So I come to the kitchen, sit down at the kitchen table. I said, well, you'll be leaving home tomorrow. Both he knows and I know. When he leaves to school, for school, is going to be there for a while, and that's the beginning of leaving the family. He'll become an independent man. So I would say, let daddy pray for you before you go. Let me pray for you. So he sat there, and I prayed for him. How do I pray for him? I said, Father, I'm praying to my God as a father. Enoch is leaving home. I'm committing him in your hands. Protect him, lead him. I'm putting him in your hands. While I was praying, it seems God was talking to me quickly that day. He said, oh, good, you're giving my son back to me. What have you done with my kid? Whoa. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, God, you have given him. And God said, what have you done with him? Now I fully realize, for the first 18 years, this kid, God has given him in my hand for me to almost as if to act as him in the life of that child. Such heavy responsibilities of a fatherhood. I read a few verses for you already about God being the Father. So we see that all children actually belongs to God. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 20, it says, and you took your sons and your daughters, whom you have born to me. God says, these children are mine. They are born to me. Okay, something's happening up there. Let's see. I'm not sure what's happening. Now I can't even see my own screen now. Oh, it's getting worse. No wonder. I knew I was nervous for a reason. Okay, now let me get out of this. Let me see. Okay, use the, not the presenter's view, but everything's stuck, okay. So, God proclaims that children belongs to him. So, fathers have the responsibility of modeling our Heavenly Father to our children. No one sees God, but they see Father. They don't understand the spiritual, abstract realm, but Father is concrete, at home, daily, so they see. So before a child knows God, he first learns of God through his own father. So how does the prayer start? It says, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallow, means holy, means greatly respected. Respected greatly. Name is the attribute of a being, represents his character. Holy means this word, separated, belonging to God, should be respected. So a father must, in the home, behave in such a way. Now I see everything. Okay. That's not where I wanted to be. I want to be here. And let me see. I will do this. I've long heard the English congregation is the most tech-savvy of the three. Now, name represents the person. It tells its character. So a father sort of represents, in a way, of the Heavenly Father. So how should he behave? Hallowed be thy name. That's how we pray. So must be careful what you teach, what you say, and all your behavior must be worthy of that name. You must be, through your life, an example. No swearing, no lying. Must be good examples. You must show how to be angry. You must show how to behave, how to forgive, and all that. Hallowed be thy name, because that is to be respected. Your kingdom come. Kingdom means where God rules. And fathers also has that responsibility, or the spiritual leadership under God in the family. Now, God's kingdom is where God rules. Family, a father in the family has similar responsibility. Now, home should be ruled should not be ruled by anything or anyone else but the Lord. Now the father represents him in the house, in the home. So he must try very hard not to let the world system, the world view, to penetrate or to come into the household, so the house, this family, in a sense, is holy. Holy meaning separated out, be different. One of the first things I taught my children is that they're to be different. You are different. Don't try to be the same with everyone else. You are not the same. The things we must know that this, when kingdom come, meaning that God's rule is here, and when we say our family belongs to God, we have similarly saying that the value systems of this household must also be consistent with that of the scripture. Your will be done. This is more concrete. Your will be done, meaning we submit our will under his will. A father's responsibility is to make the children, teach the children to be obedient to him, especially when the children are small. The teaching of the obedience is probably not what this world is teaching these days, but that's absolutely important. We, as a Christian, must submit our will under God's will. And children must learn that from home. Children have their own will, but they must learn. They cannot just do whatever they want, whatever they will, but there is a principle governing this house, and he doesn't know about this principle, but the parents do. The principle being the principle of the Lord and scripture, principle in the scriptures. So the kids must learn to be obedient. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. That's something that you must teach, fathers. You must teach when the kids are very young. You must start very young. When they are older, when they are teenagers, you say, you obey me. Too late. You have already forsaken that responsibility or that role. Do not play with your fire when the kids are young. It's not a suggestion. It's something they must obey, understand or not understand. Thus, the father must teach things in a reasonable way. You should not teach things to provoke your children. Do not threat. If you cry, I'll call the policeman. Never do things that you cannot fulfill, because your will is supreme in the home. God's will, yours. When the children doesn't know anything about God, you be careful how you behave. That was the class 92. I don't want you to see that, but it came out. Now, Father, this great Chinese word here you see. Yeah, that's how it looks like for those who doesn't know how it looks like. But it came from the pictogram, look like that. That's the old Chinese oracle bone character. What is this? This is a man on this side. What is the thing that he's holding? A rod. What is he doing? Teaching. Teaching. Or protection. Teaching. That's the main job. That's the word means in for the Chinese. A father means the one who teaches. Same in scripture. You must teach. Fathers are the one who disciplines their children. These words, the scripture says, that I have commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. These are the primary responsibility of a father. So if a kid learns when they are young, the scripture says, train up a child. In the way he should go. There is a right way. Not every way is the same. There is a right way. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. So true. I'm getting old these days, and what do I forget? I forget the things I just learned. You tell me, I'm Peter. I don't know, who's this guy? The new things I've learned, the last thing, last out, the first out. What are the things I remember? The old things, the good old times I remember well. The things I learned early are the last things that I will forget. That's really true. So teach a child the way he should go. The scripture says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Give us this day our daily bread. We should be thankful and all that. But also for the father to say, it's your responsibility to provide in a timely fashion. Daily bread. What is bread? This word in scripture is a mixture of flour and water and baked. Simple substance. Provide a simple lifestyle for the family. That's required. Provide not a luxurious livelihood or lifestyle for children. That's not good. Provide a simple lifestyle. Daily bread. Let the children live simply. This is something these days the fathers try too hard. The kids have too many things. It may not be the right thing to do for them. And for the children, of course, let's not take our daily breads for granted. Forgive our sins, forgive our debtors, trespassers. Teach confession of sins. Children must be taught of that. Everyone sins. Children do too. When they make a mistake, they must confess their mistake openly to the parents. When they confess their transgressions, they should be, if things are serious, they should be rebuked. This is wrong. They should not do this again. And they should be forgiven. They should be forgiven and not be mentioned again, these things. Otherwise, what I'm saying is that don't accuse the child what he has done in the past. You rebuke him when he was wrong. Accusation comes from the evil one. There's nothing they can do about accusation. You are no good. You see, you know, I gave you all this and you're wasting it all. Accusation doesn't help anybody. A source of accusation, as in scripture, is from the evil one. He accused us of two things before God, but does not provide salvation. Rebuke, we see our wrong, we confess our wrong, the wrongs are forgiven. Father must model that. And that indeed is the gospel. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is the ultimate exercise of the agape love, because in forgiveness, as Pastor Chan just said, there's a cost. there's a price to be paid. As we also have forgiven our debtors, children must also learn to forgive each other. The children must also learn to forgive the wrongs other people has done. Only in forgiving we understood what forgiveness is. Only in forgiving we understood the cost of forgiveness. It's only in forgiving we finally receive the full measure of forgiveness. Love covers over a multitude of sin. So any family member, if a child says, "I'm sorry, Daddy," that's always good enough for everything. Any wrong that's done, accept it, say, "Don't do it again." "I am sorry" requires forgiveness, because that's how our Lord has treated us. He is faithful. We must also learn to be similarly faithful. Lead us not into temptation. Temptation is not wanting bad things. Temptation is the wanting things badly. We should not be controlled by things, by what we own. But we should be controlled by God's words, by His teaching, by those ideas. Lead them the way should go. Lead them the way of a faithful man. That day when I prayed for Enoch, I said, "Lord, I give him in your hands." I also pray to the Lord and also ask him, learn very hard to be a faithful man. Not that I am a faithful man, so he will learn to be a faithful man like I am, but rather I invited him to embark in a journey to learn to be a faithful man with me. Of course, as a Father's Day, even though I'm a grandfather to most of you, I also invite you to embark on that journey in life. Learn to be a faithful man before God. So the father's heart is to invite the child to walk with him. Our Heavenly Father desires that. In Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does he, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? First two parts are what God has taught. The last part is a desire. So no matter how we teach our children, befriend them, walk with them. It's not how well they do in school that counts. It's not which school they enter that counts. It's not what profession they enter that counts. But rather, is a man before God. He's a God, he's a child of God like we are. And we are invited to walk with him. We are invited to walk with each other. When the children are young, we have the unique opportunity to invite them to walk with us. I will take my child when they are young, a little bit older, to fish. I enjoy fishing greatly till this day. They enjoy fishing. When there's three of them, they all live in Boston, have something to celebrate, like a birthday or anniversary. All three families gather together and go fishing, like they did when they are young. You teach them the way they should go when they're young. When they're old, they will not depart from it. Certain things they hold dear to their hearts as well, because those are the days they spend time with me. Also, when they are young, you take each one out, one by one, to a place that they want to go, like I don't know, Dunkin' Donuts or wherever. Give them something, a chocolate, something to drink, or donuts, whatever. One donut's going to give them. And spend time with them. Walk with them. How come this doesn't keep wanting to come out? All right. Actually, I've taken up stumble through for the time that I have, and I must stop here. It's a journey that we all take. We, when we're growing up, we look up to our Heavenly Father. That prayer we just learned how to pray is very precious. It teaches us how to be a child as well. And also it teaches, for those of you who are fortunate enough to have children of your own, and when they are still young, to learn from that, to see the responsibility of a father, and to mimic what our Father in Heaven leads us to lead the family God has given to us. May God bless all of you on this special day, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for these experiences we have on earth. Even though not all of us can be fathers, but nevertheless, we all have fathers. We give thanks for them because these are the ones in whose life you allow us to have a glimpse of the Heavenly Father. Some of them modeled well, some of them didn't. But in any way, you are the perfect one. Through our experiences, we learn how to become a child. We learn our own sins and shortcomings. And we know that whatever we do, we accept it in your sight. And Father, we desire as our child to return to your household one day and to see you face to face. I pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.